The scripture reading before this morning's lesson will be from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 8 through 10, as well as verses 13 and 14. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
First, I wish to thank each of you for your presence and those visiting with us, and even Richard and Linda that has come from the Smoky Mountains to be with us today. And we thank Brother Jeff for the prayer a minute ago as he prayed on my behalf, and Austin for the reading. And we appreciate the reading as it talks about Abraham. He's called out of his own place, which he should after receive for an inheritance. He obeyed, he went out, and not knowing whether he went. He looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and that's whom we're looking for also. He talks about the different ones in the Hebrew letter. They all died, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And you know, we haven't received all that God has for us. We have the promises, but sometime we're a ways off from heaven. We're persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Now I'll read just a couple of verses near the close of the 11th chapter. That chapter of faith is so precious, and when you understand what others have done, verse 36, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, and moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. It's like you take a saw and cut them in two. And they were slain with the edge of the sword. Got too many pages there. And they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute and afflicted and tormented. This says something here that we need to understand. It says, of whom this world was not worthy. Of all that those heroes of faith did, this world wasn't worthy of what they did. They didn't appreciate God's people back then. And they just wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith. And that's our message today. They earned a good report through faith and the promise, and God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Inasmuch as the sacrifices that they offered on a regular basis, or when they sinned, and on a yearly basis when the high priest went in, that was the very best that they could do. The blood of bulls and goats, the Bible says, wasn't able to take away sin. But this last verse helps us to understand that they without us could not be made perfect. And that means they without the gospel, without Christ's death on the cross, could not be made perfect. And so when Christ came, all those sacrifices were made perfect at that point in time. And today, you know, we look unto Jesus. They looked unto Moses, and they just loved Moses. He was the lawgiver. He was the first Jew. Well, God gave the law through Moses. He was the first Jew. And they just loved him. Were of Abraham's seed, and they bragged on it 2 months. They weren't like his children. But today it says, and we're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and he's on the right hand of God. I have a lesson this morning concerning faith, and hopefully that you can read some. These are just little tidbits of a verse that's found in the Bible that's important and good that we look at them at this point in time. There's a lot of, I didn't look up how many times faith is found in the Bible, but it certainly is a lot. You know, when you look at the word faith and verses we're going to use, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. You look at faith, that's the substance of things hoped for. Heaven is our substance that we're hoping and praying for. The evidence of things not seen. We haven't visited heaven yet, but we use verses like that. When it says there's one body and one spirit, even you're called in one faith you're calling, one Lord and one faith and one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. So as that verse brings out, there is but one faith. There's but one body, and that means just one church. Jesus built that church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The statement that he was the Son of God. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, as we mentioned there in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Jude 3, it says that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Not many faiths, but the faith. There's only one faith, as we looked at. The Bible says when Jesus saw them, and that means the four men that were carrying this bed, going along and they couldn't get into where Jesus was to be healed because this man had palsy. I guess that's a shaking all over, and sometimes age does some of that. But when Jesus saw their faith, and not the man's faith that had palsy, didn't even mention about him having any faith, but the four men that carried him, that took him up on the rooftop, that let him down, maybe a rope on each corner of the bed, and let him down the presence of Jesus so Jesus could heal him. But Jesus said when he saw their faith, you know, God sees our faith, what we do in this lifetime. The Bible says the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that will be tried with fire. When you refine something and bring out the impurities and it's done 4 or 5 times, your faith is worth more than that to God. And we need to appreciate the fact that we need to use our faith. This verse here is found in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verse 1. Though I had all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, he says, I'll become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, we can't have the faith that they had back then to remove a mountain. And we hear people talk about that today, that yes, they can remove mountains, but the days of miracles are over. And we need to appreciate that. There have been 3 ages of miracles, and that of the time of Moses. We know the plagues and stuff, and we know Elijah and Elisha, and then the time of Christ. And when the apostles and all those died, the days of miracles are over. Yes, God has been wonderful to many of us. We just can't count all the things. That maybe when you're up on top of the silo and you're standing on an empty bucket and trying to put something up there, or you fell down and just barely missed the bed of the truck and your head was the first thing that could have hit it. Maybe this and that has happened to you. You know, the days of miracles, God does have his providence out there. He cares for us. We know he cares. We sing that song. But the days of miracles are over. I put these up here as just little guidelines, and I know Brother Poor many years ago would come to class early, and they'd bring the kids up, and they'd go through some verses and everything, and the children that learn verses today is the most wonderful thing that they can do. It'll help them through the troubles of life if we apply it. And these verses are some of those. They're just little inclinations of what faith is and what faith does and everything. When you look on this side, it says that Stephen was full of faith. How much are we full of? When Stephen stood up in the 7th chapter of Acts, and he gave his speech to the Jews and told them how far they were away, and they said that they couldn't resist the spirit by which he spoke. You know, you speak to people today, and they just throw it off. And it might be about baptism or anything. Oh, that doesn't make any difference. And things of that nature. We walk by faith and not by sight. How do you know what God wants us to do? He tells us what to do and how to live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me. I don't know what I had there for whosoever. I guess I better read it. Well, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. The victory we have in Christ Jesus. Those people back then didn't have that. They couldn't see it. David said his soul rested in hope. But the righteous and the prophets, they didn't see what we see today. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We could go through several things like that. But 12 asked Jesus a question. Asked Jesus to do something, I should say. He said, increase our faith. Do you ever feel like that you need some help and strength? And you know, that's why we as brethren come together upon the first day of the week. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 24, he talks about consider one another. And we have it on the board sometimes up here. Consider one another and provoke one another to love, or encourage one another to love and to good works. We're the body of Christ. We should encourage and strengthen and consider one another. And the 12 ask, increase our faith. And why did they ask that? You know, when Jesus had just told them that you need to forgive someone, and they said, how many times? And 7 times? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. Well, that's unbelievable what he asked of us. And so the 12 ask, increase our faith. You know, when you have things come on you and all, and you don't know what to do, you could be like the 12, the apostles that asked Jesus what to do. In Peter, it says add. You know what you're supposed to add? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness charity. He says, for if these things be in you, if you've added these things, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I remember that verse from my daddy many years ago. He'd quote that verse, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge and temperance and all like that. That's why we need to learn verses when we're young. They can stick with us until our mind kind of goes a little bit bad. But add to your faith. Our faith is there, but it's be added to and increased in knowledge. On the other side, God has chosen the poor of this world. And I don't believe there's any of you that's rich, that you can just say that you were rich. But the Bible says, blessed are the poor of this world, that they're rich in faith, whom God has promised to them that love him. He's promised heaven to us. Galatians 2 and 8, by grace are you saved. And people want to just stop there. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? And I don't think I've got that quote in there. What does it profit though a man say he have faith here and hath not works? Can faith save him? He says faith alone won't save you. You have to have... Abraham was justified by works. There's a verse in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verse 20. And God says, I'll hide my face from them. You know, there's people in judgment when it comes that they'll call on the mountains and the rocks to hide them from the face of God. But God's saying back here, I'll hide my face from them. And what else does he say? I will see what their end shall be. You know, without God in our life, what is our end going to be? For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. There are people out there that have no faith. God said, I'm going to hide my face from them. I'll see what their end will be without me. But with him, we have all things in the world. A woman that came to Jesus, and Jesus made this statement, thy faith has saved you. And you know, our faith saves us today. Different things. By grace we're saved. We're saved by faith. Different things we're saved. By thy faith has saved you. When Jesus was sitting and eating with some of the fellows there in the house, and maybe Peter was there, and at that point in time, Jesus had his feet out here, but a woman came up behind him and touched his garment. And when Jesus looked up, he saw this woman, but she was at his feet. And how they reclined sometimes and ate, that they had their feet backwards. And this woman was crying. She was sincere in her life. And she saw Jesus there and she could be healed. And the Bible says she's a great sinner. But anyway, when Jesus looked down, he saw this woman with the tears that came from her eyes, that she began to wash his feet. Oftentimes barefooted or sandals, and they had a lot of problems with their feet, I'm sure. They walked so much. But not only that, did she wash his feet with her hair, with her tears, she also wiped his feet with her hair. You know, to you ladies, or maybe us men, we don't have much of a good hair day sometimes. But anyway, she was using her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. And then she had an alabaster box that she put anointed his feet. And Jesus bringing the story up, he said, Peter, did I come to your house? Did you wash my feet? Did you do anything for me? And he's just bringing out what this woman had done, that her faith had saved her. And you know, our faith will also save us. There's an example we have at the Red Sea. When there were, 3, 4, 5 million people, and they were also numbered able-bodied men of war, 603,550. They came to the Red Sea at the millions of people. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Their faith was dependent upon seeing their salvation. Our faith is dependent upon our salvation too. Did any of them stay there No, the Bible says they all went through the Red Sea on dry land. They all had faith. But you know, there's also another story. On the 10th plague that the children of Israel had brought upon the Egyptians, that God had told them to take the lamb and sprinkle the blood on the side post and the top. And when the death angel goes over, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, the blood of Christ has to be applied to us for us to stand justified in that last day and hour. For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You know, a lot of cases back there where it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You kids have learned those stories about the Red Sea and all the different things. And it's so wonderful you've learned that back in classes. Our teachers have been so good in trying to bring out the truth and verses that you'll always remember in life. But Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to suffer with you? Bring him hither." Here's a little lad that his dad had brought to Jesus. And he brought him to the disciples and they couldn't heal him. He was a lunatic. He threw himself into the fire and the water. And it's like he was possessed. And Jesus talked to the 12 and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation." They had the power to heal. But sometimes they didn't realize and didn't do their job as well as they ought to. God never intended for any of the apostles or any of the preachers to use their faith in a bad way. But they should have used their faith in a good way, and he called you faithless. There's one word in the New Testament, before we close, that when Paul looked at Timothy, he talked about his unfeigned faith. That means he's not pretending. It's the real thing. And you can see the real thing in people sometimes. It's unpretended. When I saw the unfeigned faith that's in thee, Paul said to Timothy, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. That unfeigned faith God wants us all to have. You know, as the invitation might be offered today, and it certainly will, Jesus offered it his time. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The greatest invitation of the whole world is when Jesus says, "Come to me." The Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing. He demands faith upon our part. We're talking about faith today. The kind of faith, the great faith. I've never seen such great a faith in Israel, Jesus had said. So then faith comes by hearing. This is a step to be saved. And then we're to have a godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. A sorrow of the world will bring death, but the godly sorrow will bring repentance in our life. And that's required of us, as well as Matthew the 10th chapter. Brother Garrell mentions it many times. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven." It says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you. And then in closing, Matthew the 28th chapter, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And I've been watching probably TV more than I should. I try to analyze what I see sometimes. For it's Billy Graham or the many preachers out there, I've not heard one of them say what the rest of that verse is. They just go along and they just cancel out what they don't want. And I've seen where Billy Graham supposedly, and in a class of millions of people, and They come together with swarms of people. And then he prays for them. And he uses this verse, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." But he stops there. He doesn't say, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's left out completely. I think they'd probably say, "Yeah, you need to believe." I worked with a man one time, and he said, "Yes, I believe, and I've been baptized. I've told you this before." He said, "I was baptized when I was a baby, and now at my age, at 20 or 30, I believe." I said, "Well, the scripture doesn't say that. It says, 'He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.' Not 'he that's baptized and then believes shall be saved.'" So we change things and everything. You don't do that by faith. So that's a way to get into Jesus Christ. He offers that to whosoever will. And also by the same fact that if we maybe have made mistakes along the way, that we need to recognize where we are. If it's been of a public nature, we need to come forward and acknowledge what we've done wrong and not bring reproach on the church. And when someone does wrong, you can say, "No, they've repented of that." And that person doesn't have anything to do because they're forgiven. And so when God offers that second avenue of being saved, we can be saved, but we can also be lost. We're told to be faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life. That's our lesson this morning. There are little gems along the way. We just use a few verses along to help us understand what faith does, how others were looking unto Jesus. They looked to Moses. Now we look to Jesus and the cross. Are you subject to the gospel invitation today while together we stand and sing?